Scott Parkinson is at the Club for Growth, and of course, he does keep an eye on everything that happens on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. for us, and a big week we've had this past week. Scott, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me back, Loman.
Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, former Speaker of the House, who was deposed a couple of months back, has announced he is resigning. What sort of impact is that going to have?
Well, it's a good question. You know, obviously, House Republicans, the entire Congress, starting last January, have dealt with this really, really slim majority. And Speaker McCarthy's decision to end his congressional career at the end of December sort of brings shockwaves to Washington for a few different reasons. Number one, a lot of people are concerned about having just a two-seat majority now. And we know that Bill Johnson from Ohio, who we've previously talked about in this show, he's going to be leaving in the springtime, which could bring it down to one. And all it takes is an unfortunate death of one of the older members of the House conference for it to be dead even, and you effectively lose your majority. And handing over unified government to Joe Biden in an election year could be quite dangerous. What would Speaker Hakeem Jeffries do, right? But on the other hand, McCarthy has been in Washington. He sort of rose to power fairly quickly on that 2010 red wave Tea Party movement. Even though he really wasn't a Tea Party type candidate, he was already in Congress, but they built the Young Guns program, him, Eric Cantor, Paul Ryan, all three of them are gone from Congress now. McCarthy served less than two full decades in Washington, but he accumulated the highest levels of power in Washington, being just two heartbeats away from the presidency and serving as the 55th Speaker of the House. McCarthy possibly is going to join the House Financial Services Committee chairman named Patrick McHenry, who also announced his retirement. They're obviously very close. When McCarthy was vacated from the speakership, he designated McHenry to be the Speaker pro tem and basically preside over the House while they resolve the differences in selecting Mike Johnson to be the next Speaker. But a McHenry-McCarthy team would be incredibly powerful as it pertains to the influences of lobbying and consulting in Washington, D.C. That's what a lot of people are presuming are the next steps for the two of them. McCarthy made money sort of being a sandwich shop guy. I think he won a lottery and used that as leverage to get into Congress. But he's not one of these big, bankrolling, wealthy, Rockefeller-type rich guys. And that being said, he's got his tentacles inserted into the highest levels of financial power in America. And so I do think that McCarthy will ultimately be just as successful in the private sector as he was in Congress and attaining all the power that he attained over really almost 17 years. That district in California is one of the brightest red districts of that state. And a lot of people like to talk about how California is a socialist pit of misery, but his district is a real opportunity for us to get a good conservative elected.
In the meantime, we are, of course, Scott, in the midst of the holiday season here, and folks are preparing for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever particular holiday they celebrate at this time of the year. Economically speaking, how are folks faring this holiday season?
I think that this holiday season, people really are feeling the increased costs of the Biden policies. And, you know, you can unpack the polling data from Gallup and the Associated Press and Pew and others and really start to see this broad consensus that Joe Biden's economy is wrecking the middle class. I think we've talked about the report from the Joint Economic Committee and how it's nearly a four-year cumulative cost of $50,000 for the average household. Well, the average household is only 2.6 people. So imagine if you're a family of four with two kids, or a family of six with four kids, or something even bigger. The decisions that you've got to make this Christmas season, not just surrounding what's going to be served on the table, but what you can afford for gifts, what debt you're willing to take on, Did you receive a Christmas bonus? Are you receiving a wage increase? All those things are a big, big part of Bidenomics. And I think Biden's handling of the economy, his approval on that, is just 32% across the board. It's fairly high among Democrats. I think it's at 76%. But if you think about it, that's still one in four Democrats that don't approve of Biden's handling of the economy. Then you look at independents, and it's three out of four independents that oppose his and disapprove his handling of the economy, obviously with Republicans, an incredibly low number support his handling of the economy. And I think overall, that's why Joe Biden is in trouble in all these swing states, and I think is sort of building this recipe for what I'm going to predict to be a wave election in 2024. People are going to be looking at a Christmas tree that has less gifts underneath it. People are going to be looking at their tax documents in January and February when they receive all their forms and begin to file, and they're going to realize, oh my gosh, like, we're not doing as well as we thought we were, right? Sometimes you don't notice it paycheck to paycheck when, you know, it's 3, 5, 7% difference, and the way that you kind of watch your bank account go down, it's how close are you paying attention to your household budget? But when you look at it on an annualized basis, when you think about it the course of 4 years, ultimately it's the age-old question that I think was really made popular during the Reagan administration. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And when people ask themselves that question in 2024, the answer is clear as the light of day, and it is that people are not better off today. They were better off in the Trump administration. They were better off even in the Obama years. Economically, people are struggling.
And of course, in 2024, we will continue to keep an eye on all things political and happening in Washington, D.C. with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott, as always, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is united in the ideas of free markets, economic freedom, economic liberty, and opportunity. The website is clubforgrowth.org. Check us out. You can join as a member for free. And we have over 525,000 other members from all 50 states. You can find us on X at Club for Growth with the number 4.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, we'll check in with you next week. Thank you.
Thank you so much.